10 minutes here before the top of the hour. This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia. I'm Brian Curtis with Juliet Solly, and our guest is Laura Wong, Chief China Equity Strategist at Morgan Stanley. Laura, thanks very much for joining us. So it's a tough environment there, both domestically and externally for China. Thus, the earnings of Chinese companies, it's been kind of a rocky period. How do things shape up, let's say, over the coming quarter?
That's absolutely right. We look at the second quarter's earnings season, and it has been the worst since the outbreak of COVID at the beginning of 2020. Looking at the third quarter, we would be expecting a disappointing earnings season again. This is because if we think about what happened in the third quarter, we actually had an unexpected slowdown in the housing market, as well as unexpected resurgence of the Omicron spread in onshore China. We have about 13% of the overall China GDP under some sort of lockdown, which would have significant impact on corporate earnings.
We're about to see just how bad the economy has been hit with the data dump coming through in just over an hour's time as well. But do things change meaningfully after the Party Congress, and does that change your view on how investable China is?
We are not expecting drastic changes overnight after the Party Congress from a policy continuity perspective. And frankly speaking, some of these policies that investors have been hoping for, such as boost to infrastructure and the stabilization measures for the housing market, have been gradually rolled into the market already. And on the COVID relaxation front, I think the setup for preparation on that front also needs to take a staged approach. That being said, I think a couple of things are pointing towards around October, November for a better reassessment. This is because, number one, whether there could be a clearer roadmap about exit from the COVID zero policy, and second, whether the earnings expectation would trough after the third quarter's earnings season, and then last but not least, whether the PCAOB inspection about the ADR audit dispute could yield a positive result after the inspection process in Hong Kong.
So we know that COVID is a major constraint, and the property crisis, the property downturn, is another. COVID can be solved, in essence, I suppose, by policy. Can property? Is there a policy gold wand there?
Well, I think from investors' perspective, the more easing, the better, right? But from the policymakers' perspective, housing is for living but not for speculation. That is the guideline that has been in place for several years. So probably a more stabilization stage for the housing market rather than a reversal of all the deleveraging policies as well as the non-speculation policies would be more ideal. We already saw a stabilization effort in terms of trying to complete the unfinished projects and also the guaranteed bond issuance provided by the government for a number of selected developers. So I think it would be great if we can see some early signs of stabilization after September and October. Historically, these months would be proven to be the good seasons for housing sales.
Laura, I know you're a China equity strategist, but wanting to get your thoughts on what we've been seeing with the defension, I should say, of their weakness in the yuan, and just how much further the dollar yuan can advance and the impact that is here on China exports and the flow through into markets.
Yeah, so the Morgan Stanley actually has been expecting a rather depreciation trajectory for yuan versus U.S. dollars, and we are forecasting CNY versus USD hitting 7 in the third quarter, which is exactly what's happening right now. That being said, we don't believe that the depreciation pressure is particularly getting out of control, given the trade surplus is still quite significant year to date. Most importantly, I think the reason for the weakness in recent weeks is more driven by the strengthening of the U.S. dollar rather than the weakness of the yuan, because yuan has been rather stable versus its trade basket. So I think the impact on the trade front would be relatively neutral at this stage.
So we're talking about the data that's coming, and retail sales may pick up just a little bit. So it kind of makes me think about what is the key to getting domestic consumption going again? I know that over the past half year or so, the Chinese consumers have very much slowed down their spending, and there are a lot of reasons for it. Is there a catalyst that you can see that might stimulate some action here?
I think relaxation of the COVID zero policy and the associated restriction measures would be a major catalyst from a consumption boost perspective. And of course, how to stabilize and rebuild consumers' confidence in the general economy would also be extremely important. We are expecting only 2.8% GDP growth this year versus 5.5% set by the government at the beginning of this year. So that has been a quite major decline in terms of, you know, resetting your expectation by the general public. So that would be quite important. Yeah.
The rest of the world very much moving away from COVID. How do you change the mindset of that when even we're not going to see some kind of policy change to dynamic zero, just getting people out and about and believing that they're safe to do that? And I guess getting more vaccinations as well to boost the economy.
Yeah, vaccination is extremely important. And particularly for the elderly age group, right? Currently, the vaccination ratio for that age group above 60 years old is around 66% with the third jab included. Ideally, if the country can boost that above 80%, that would provide much higher protection for the elderly people. And the potential rollout of the medication as well as other treatment would be helpful as well. And then to your point, the education for the general public to be better prepared for and to get them prepared and to embrace a potential relaxation, that would also take time.
For years and years and years, investors in China have played policy by the government. So my next question really is probably just gauging your insights on where the government's going here. But in terms of sectors or companies, what looks good over the next 6 months?
In terms of sector preference, we actually like materials. But within materials, if you look closer at it, we have recommended investors to trim its exposure to the cyclical materials because of the housing slowdown and some extreme weather conditions, which had curbed the activity on the infrastructure side. Instead, we like new materials such as lithium and lab-developed diamond. And then we also like information technology, not internet, but information technology, given their very attractive relative valuation versus the broad market and also given the top-down policy support in terms of tech localization.
Well, okay, well, yeah, go ahead, Julia.
Yeah, I was just going to say a very, very quick one. When do we see the CSI 300 back at 5,000?
That is a tough question. Not in the next 6 months, because our target price by June next year is around 4,300. But we do prefer Asia market versus the offshore, given the onshore credit growth pickup. That supports liquidity for the Asia market.
Yeah, the CSI 300 here at 4027 as we get ready for trading today. So a 25% pop to the upside to 5,000. We may have to wait until 2024 for that. Anyway, Laura, thank you very much. Laura Wong, Morgan Stanley.